Noon, as I indicated in my initial comments earlier, again, this agreement that the leader of the Green Party and I have signed today demonstrate the consensus that has been formed amongst the parties who did receive the greatest majority of votes in this election. And that consensus is formed around the issues that matter most to New Zealand. That includes, for instance, making sure we have an economy that delivers for everybody, that we have a much stronger focus on the environment, and that we begin investing in our people once again. These key elements featured in both the New Zealand Green Party and the New Zealand Labour Party's campaigns this election. And now those platforms are reflected in the agreement that we have signed today. I want to thank James Shaw and all of the Green Party team for the work that went into our negotiations, which I believe have formed the foundation for a solid, fantastic working relationship. We look forward to moving forward together on all of the shared priorities and goals that we have. Taken as a whole, you will see from this agreement that has been signed by both parties, and with both agreements that have been signed today, the consensus that exists between us all. We represent, as I say, the greatest majority of votes this election, and we will be a government for all New Zealanders. We are now both happy to take questions. What you'll see from the Green Party agreement particularly is that there are a range of statements that set out goals, ambitious goals. For instance, moving towards 100% renewable energy use by 2035. Now, of course, underpinning that will be a range of steps that will need to be incorporated. We will work together. Some of those steps we have had a conversation about, and some of those we will work together in conjunction with the Green Party ministers and members to formulate a plan to roll that goal out. The same goes for the goals around tertiary education, around the welfare state. We have set out aspirations, and then together we'll roll out a work plan. Again, we have some agreement between us on how we work towards those goals, but this is the complete document for the public.
The rent loan scheme, can you take us through your thinking there?
Look, the Green Party, and I'll let James speak to the specifics of what they campaigned on, during negotiations brought to us the fact that they campaigned hard on alternative methods to try and help people into home ownership, particularly first-home buyers. Rent-to-own was a strong policy platform for the Green Party, and we agreed it was something that we should incorporate into Kiwi Build. So our expectation is that as part of the Kiwi Build program, we will have a set allocation of rent-to-own or similar mechanisms to help people into home ownership.
Could this replace the current deposit subsidies that National introduced?
Oh, look, we'll look at it in the context of the Kiwi Build program. Again, we want to look at a range of options, rent to own, shared equity. For us, it's about using a range of mechanisms to make sure people get into home ownership. Some of the subsidy schemes the government have introduced don't necessarily help homeowners because the proportion of a deposit they're expected to accrue is still just too high.
Yeah, so we didn't have a specific model in mind. When I was living in London, there would have been at least a dozen different rent-to-own schemes that were operating there as well. And I think what we said is that you don't necessarily want to settle on any one scheme. When we campaigned on it, we actually deliberately set it out to work alongside Labor's Kiwi Build program. So what we've said is that there is a commitment to a rent-to-own scheme of some description, and we'll work through that with the Labor Party as the Kiwi Build program unfolds.
Would Labor be prepared to support the decriminalisation or legalisation of cannabis for personal use if that is the result of the Kiwi Build?
Look, what we've said is that we absolutely believe and agree with the Green Party that it's time to take this to the public. They advocated strongly for that in our negotiations. That wasn't something we campaigned on, so it is something the Green Party brought to the table. Look, we agreed that what we're doing now simply isn't working, so we've said yes to having that referendum. We expect that we'll have a process in the lead-up to formulating the question that allows the public to engage in debate. And we expect also to use that public debate to input into the development of the question itself and potentially into any proposals we'll take to the public for them to vote on. That will be a very public-facing process. Again, we've left these issues generally have always been a conscience vote for our members, but I'm sure they'll be heavily guided by what the view of New Zealanders comes back as.
And would you intend to go ahead with the plan to make medicinal cannabis available as per your 100%?
Yes, absolutely. We share a commitment on that issue.
But there's
I don't need to be influenced on climate change. It will sit at the heart of what this government does. I was not going to let the fact that our Green Party ministers are sitting outside of Cabinet stand in the way of us utilising the enormous experience and expertise that they bring. I am entirely comfortable with the fact that that portfolio will sit outside of Cabinet because we have a collective commitment to reducing climate change and the effects of climate change, and of course to a net zero emissions target by 2050. And again, as I say, I did not want to let where those ministers sat get in the way of us utilising their experience and expertise.
How are we able to plant 100 million trees a year?
Sorry, what was that question?
How do you plant 100 million trees a year? Where do you plant 100 million trees a year?
Yeah, well, that represents, of course, we're speaking to another agreement now, but to be fair to the Greens, they've been huge advocates on the need to increase forestry and carbon sinks. So again, consensus on that issue. There has been a study already undertaken, I believe, by Canterbury that indicated how it would be possible to roll out such a policy program. The commitment that we've made is really only functionally a doubling of what we're doing now. There has been research that demonstrates that on dry stock land that this would only require an additional 5% of that marginal land to be used in order to reach this target. It is absolutely achievable.
Can you explain...
We haven't discussed it as a caucus, but as I understand it, it's a conscience vote, as is the rest of the bill. So we'll, I guess, cross that bridge when we get to it.
Can you confirm that New Zealand First picked the Greens out of Cabinet, and also do you think there is some value in you holding a meeting with James Shaw and Winston?
We are going to work collectively and collaboratively as a government to deliver the common goals that we have formulated, ones that relate to greater prosperity for New Zealanders, to making sure the environment is at the heart of what we do, and to improving outcomes for our people and investing in our people. That will sit at the heart of what this government does. Regardless of where ministers sit, we have a collective commitment to those goals. As I've said previously, different forms of agreement suit different parties. Ultimately, though, each of the parties have ministers in key areas. Ministers in the areas where they bring enormous expertise. I will be utilising all of those expertise, regardless of whether they are inside or outside of Cabinet.
So you don't see New Zealand as the senior partner and the Greens as the junior
partner? We have different agreements, that is clear. One is coalition and one is confidence and supply. Will I be treating both parties with respect? Will I be going to both parties to seek agreement and consensus on legislation? Absolutely.
How much of this agreement have Winston Peters seen?
These were blind negotiations. Labor negotiated a document with New Zealand First. Labor negotiated a document with the New Zealand Green Party. As has been the case with similar negotiations in the past, that is not unusual. It has been up to the Labor Party to ensure that we've formed as much consensus as possible in the formulation of this government.
Andrew, you had a question. No, I haven't met him yet. We've been a bit busy forming a new government, but I anticipate meeting him in the next couple of days.
So today
we'll definitely will see each other on Thursday.
Was today the first time that each other saw the policies of the different agreements? Or did you
have I assume that will be the case, yes, because they were released today. Of course, I have been mindful throughout this process that it was incumbent on me and my negotiating team to make sure that we understood well the priorities of both parties. We absolutely knew the things that were important to the Green Party, and we knew what was important to the New Zealand First Party. We also knew what we all agreed upon, And again, as I say, what unites us is much stronger than what may separate us. We are all committed to regional economic development. We are all committed to enhancing and protecting our environment. We're all committed to New Zealanders having much better outcomes. That is what these agreements will focus on.
Is there any issues there with New Zealand sending New Zealand to
deal? No, I mean, I just want to add to what Prime Minister has just said, which is that I think one of the things that she and her team have done particularly skillfully over the course of the last few weeks is to make sure that those agreements are consistent with each other. And if you look at them, if you read the detail on them, there's actually a huge amount of crossover between both agreements and, in fact, the policies of all three parties. So this is, and I have been saying since election night, that this is one of those cases where we have been looking for what is common between us, and I think that the two agreements represent that.
New Zealand First deal, because you're going to be able to get those numbers across for policy changes through the House.
Yes, and I mean, I think that's the point that the Prime Minister was saying, is that actually, you know, this has got to be a government of consensus. It's actually designed that way, it's set up that way, and of course consensus has been a long-standing value of the Green Party, so, you know, we're pretty pleased with how it's landed.
So, MMP, we've actually been operating under this environment for quite some time. This is not an unusual set of circumstances.
Yeah, you have agreed to remove excessive sanctions on social welfare beneficiaries. Can you identify which sanctions, and do you have New Zealand to support for that?
Oh, yes, look, we have for some time advocated in this area, both as a Labor Party but also the Green Party, that this government has increased its use of sanctions significantly. Now, sanctions have always existed in our welfare system. The issue that we have is that increasingly these sanctions are being used for often trivial matters and are having an excessive impact on children and child poverty. An example would be we have had a lot of public debate around the issue of naming of fathers. That's something that there has been consensus between both parties on. That's one of the issues that we'll be looking at as part of this agreement. But again, as I say, sanctions have always existed, but they are being used excessively and have been used excessively by the past government.
Will the Green Party vote in favour of an emissions trading system that means farmers seem to be exempt from 95% of paying for their emissions under this agreement with New Zealand First?
So we're actually looking at getting agriculture into the pricing scheme for the first time, and that is a significant hurdle for the country to take.
But they're exempt for 95%.
They were always exempt for 90%.
Yeah,
so, that's always been the policy.
Yeah, so the most important thing is that we actually get, ultimately what we're looking at here is an all gases, all industry sectors pricing scheme for the first time. And the main point, in reference to your earlier question about climate change, we are going to have, as a result of both sets of agreements, an independent climate commission that will have some element of control over the pricing scheme over time. And that takes it out of the hands of the politicians. Ultimately, it depoliticises it, and it means that you're going to get a more of an even playing field in the future than you've got at the present.
So how quickly do you expect those subsidies to fall?
We haven't set out a time, and as Mr. Shaw has pointed out, our view is that these are issues and matters that need to be managed by the Climate Commission. But what we have been clear on is that as that first step, when the Climate Commission is considering the timing of and the way that agriculture will be managed, the request that we're making is that they have a free allocation that is at 95%. Currently, we've had a policy of around 90%. It's always had a free allocation attached to it. Let me be clear, that is not new. What we've accepted here is that it is the transition will be a jarring process. This is in managing that process as best we can, but again, it will be determined by the Climate Commission.
Did Mr. Peters require that the Greens not be in Cabinet for him to agree to his agreement?
We had separate negotiations. Mr. Peters was not involved in the negotiation that we had separately with the New Zealand Green Party.
Did he say to you that he wouldn't agree if the Greens were in Cabinet?
Can I just say, at every step of the process, Jacinda Ardern has left the choice to us every single stage that we went through. And I'm not going to betray any confidences by saying that. So it was always our choice. And like I said the other day, when we said that we'd be providing confidence and supply, it is an arrangement that has considerable advantages for us. So we're very comfortable with it.
You didn't want to be in Cabinet, is that because you
I'm saying that we always had a choice every step of the way. The Prime Minister made that very clear to us, that it was always our choice. And so we had a lot of advice about what form of agreement would actually be the best one for us. And given the history of MMP and the small parties that have gone into government but haven't quite made it out the other side, we're very comfortable with where we've landed.
Let me just deal with where you're going on those questions. We were dealing with a blind negotiation with both parties. I was bound by confidentiality in one of those negotiations. The process we undertook with the Green Party was iterative. We went through a negotiation where we constantly surveyed the best option under varying circumstances. The Green Party always had the final say over the version of the agreement that they wanted to have. That was ultimately their choice, as Mr. Shaw has stipulated, and these are the agreements that we have come up with.
Mr. Shaw, during the campaign, you repeatedly said the most stable government would be a three-way coalition. So is this inherently as stable as you like, or did you change your mind?
Like a rock.
Actually, I changed my mind. I did. And a lot of that was as a result of advice that we were getting from a number of different courses during the course of it. We thrashed it through pretty thoroughly with our reference group. We had a range of options, at least 9 different permutations, to tell you the truth, and settled on the
common
one.
Comment on
the best
points.
The Labour side never came to you and said, look, James, this is going to be a lot easier.
As I have set out, it was always the Green Party's choice on the version and the nature of the agreement that they concluded and signed with us today.
Yes, I'm not arguing with that. I'm just asking if you, if anyone influenced the agreement.
These were respectful negotiations, and it was always a Green Party decision.
Mr. Gurley, can you tell me what your plan is going to be for Crown irrigation? What's your plan for Crown irrigation?
Our policy is to ensure that we honour existing commitments, but that we are not continuing to increase or reintroduce new subsidies for future projects.
So Crown Irrigation Limited will continue, but
to honour its existing commitments.
So it'll phase out.
And then it'll wind down.
Yes, so it honours its existing commitments, but we're not continuing on with future subsidies.
Are they not clashing with each other, those two?
No, absolutely not. Honouring existing agreements means just that. The past government, of course, continued to fund additional schemes, and we're saying that won't happen under this government.
So how long will these irrigation schemes that are under construction now, aren't they going to take years to build?
I don't have the timing on when we'll ultimately see those phase out, but we've said that we will honour existing commercial commitments, but we will not continue with future subsidies.
Well, what happens to the Freedom through 2050?
Well, as I understand it, will continue. I mean, one of the things that I'm quite looking forward to is ensuring that there is adequate funding and support going in for predator control into New Zealand, because that is one of the areas that has been suffering under the course of the last government. And in fact, the New Zealand First Agreement and our own agreement point towards a significant increase in funding for DOC for predator control. And we are looking at other mechanisms as well. Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, one of my criticisms actually of the last government was that they sort of, released the headline with a lot of kind of fanfare, but then didn't actually put anything like the level of resourcing into it that it would require if you were to try and achieve that goal. So they're all about the headline without doing any of the substance. And one of the things I'm so excited about entering into this governing arrangement is that we will finally have the opportunity to put some backbone into that proposal. Andrew.
And two questions, if I may.
I'll grab the first one if you, obviously, sure. The second one. The significant investment into conservation, we're all in agreement that, as Mr. Shaw has pointed out, the investment in DOC, particularly in order to achieve its goals, are wholly inadequate. We've had conversations with our future Minister of Finance around the investment that will be required. Our expectation is that there will be budget bids from the Minister for Conservation, which will obviously be a Green Party Minister. Oh, we certainly accept that there is major underfunding, but I'm reluctant to preempt the process that the future Minister for Conservation is going to put forward to us.
After these...
You had a second question?
Yeah.
That you
were... Andrew. I have to keep repeating the second question.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's a big multiple story. So, what are you most proud of in that agreement overall?
Look, I mean, the fact that we have the agreement, the fact that we are entering government for the first time, and that we have ministers who are going to be responsible for implementing a significant portion of the agenda that we campaigned on climate change, where not only do we hold that portfolio and we have the ability to put in place the target of a zero emissions economy by 2050, but also some significant structural changes like a new cabinet committee on the environment and climate change, like a board of public sector CEOs in related departments like transport, energy, primary industries and so on. We're actually going to see massive movement on that in the coming months and years. I'm incredibly excited about that. I'm very excited about the fact that we have the overhaul of the welfare system and that we're going to finally put an end to the most punitive components of that system that actually traps people in poverty. And I'm very, very proud that, you know, when we said that we wanted to restore and replenish our forests and our birds and our rivers, that we've got a significant commitment to doing that. But overall, one of the things that we haven't talked about a lot is that in the agreement, in the preface to it, is that we intend to start measuring our success according to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And that is a really significant step, because what it says is that New Zealand is going to be, like many other countries around the world, saying, how are we actually doing on all of those things that matter when it comes to society and the environment and the economy in ways that we haven't before? And to me, that's tremendously exciting.
And to me, that says that's a beautiful place to wrap. So thank you.
Thank you.